Take your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I wanted to say publicly thank you for all those who had a part in our youth Christmas program this past Sunday night. I think it was a great success. Very thankful for the response, and also very thankful for the hard work of the young people. I think it was a blessing. I actually just think it was special, and of course I'm a little biased. I really enjoy watching our young people serve the Lord, and it was definitely a blessing. Matthew chapter number 1, the title of tonight's message is Christmas Reminds Us We Can Trust God's Promises. Christmas reminds us that we can trust God's promises. Every few years I like to look at the different prophecies, at least, and explain the different prophecies that God fulfilled and the promises that God had given about concerning the birth of Christ. A message like this, it helps build my strength and helps build my faith. It helps me remember I can trust God even in the circumstances I live in today. Because not everything goes the way that we expect it to. Many times things are not the way we expect them to. And many times we do not understand how God is working. We don't see what God is doing. And because of that, we begin to question. We begin to wonder and we begin to doubt. And when we see that God keeps his promises and that we can trust God and his promises and we can have faith when it comes to the promises. And I think one of the perfect examples that during that time is during the time of year of Christmas, where we see the prophecy that was given hundreds of years ago and how God fulfilled each of those prophecies. And God has given us many, many more promises in the Bible concerning our Christian life and concerning future events. And God will fulfill all those. The Bible talks about how God cannot lie. Matthew 1, verse number 22 is where we're just going to kind of start off with, where it says, "Now what all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying." Now, it's in reference to it's talking there about the lineage there. It's talking about the different people that were born, and it goes into talking about Mary and being a spouse wife to Joseph, and they're getting ready to, the angel's getting ready to speak and things like that. And in this scripture, I like what it says, "Now all this was done." And it says in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done." And all these things were done. Why was it done? It's because it was fulfilling the prophecy. God did not prophesy something about Christ's birth that did not happen. So I like to encourage you tonight to just kind of build our trust and faith in God. Man may break promises, but God is always faithful. Anybody ever break a promise to you? I know, I've had that happen before. And it's amazing that sometimes because of limited resources or because of circumstances, what happens? People do break their promises. But God is not held like we are to time and to matter. God can do all things. God can, a virgin can be born. Isn't that amazing? Joseph and Mary needs to get to Bethlehem, and God can move the heart of the emperor to cause him to want attacks and cause him to want to, have a census, and they all go there. It's amazing. God is not limited like we are. We can trust God and his promises even when we don't know how things are going to work out, even though we don't understand how things might work out. We don't even understand why these things are happening. God still has all these details working out. So let's look here at some different things here. You know, thousands of years had passed since God had told Adam and Eve that there was going to be a coming Messiah. And it's amazing that God fulfills these prophecies. And I know sometimes we just read over them because we've gotten used to them. This is excitement. And this is something I want the young people to understand. And here, our faith is not a blind faith. It is a proven faith that God is faithful and God has been faithful. And when we see prophecy that was written hundreds of years beforehand coming true, it just fulfills our faith and builds our faith and strengthens our faith in God. So let's look at a couple things. First thing I want you to think about is the virgin birth. We'll look at the Galatians chapter 4 real quick in verse 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of time was come, when it was the right time, God sent forth his son made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You know, he had promised that, the seed of a woman. And it's, why is that? The virgin birth. And we know the necessity of that. So let's look at some of these different promises that are fulfilled. And then we're going to finish up by understanding the reasons why we can trust God today. First thing I want you to think about is the virgin birth. We're going to look here in Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter number 2 and look at the different prophecies that were fulfilled. In Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now look in your Bible where it says in Matthew 1:23. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I don't want to think everybody understands it, so I don't want to miss this. The thing that was written in Isaiah was written 600, 700 years ago, before any of this ever happened, before this even understanding how Christ was going to come into the world. They said that this was going to happen 700 years beforehand, and now you have the angel that is speaking to Joseph, and he's telling Joseph what was going to happen. This is going to be a fulfillment of the prophecy, and this is how it was going to be done. And this is the exciting thing, how we can build our faith. God makes a promise 700 years earlier, and God is fulfilling this promise. Also, let's look into scriptures about the place of birth. And Micah 5:2, once again, over 600 years before this ever happened, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old and from everlasting." So back in the time of Micah, that was prophesied that Jesus was going to be born where? He was going to be born in Bethlehem. So everybody knew that. Well, how come they had to have a census to get Mary and Joseph there? You know, God worked all those things out, and God put all those details out so his prophecy would be fulfilled. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 3, we see the wise men had come, and they come to the spot that everything is troubled, and they ask, where is the king that was going to be born? Verse number 3, when Herod had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Luke chapter number 2, in verse number 4, it talks about how Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. You say, "Pastor, we know all this." Well, this is why we can have faith in God. He promised something, and he moved the emperor. He moved men and women's hearts. All these things happen on purpose. It says in Joseph, in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." You say, well, that's nice how that all worked out, how it got fulfilled, because, you know, this all of a sudden had to have the census, and all of a sudden they had to be taxed, and all of a sudden they had to go there, and they were just pregnant. It doesn't work that way. God had designed all these things to happen in his timing, in his way, and we can trust God's promises. God had said it was going to be virgin birth. God had said it was going to be Bethlehem. And in Matthew chapter number 2, there's a few other ones. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 31, in Jeremiah chapter 31, you have the story about the women that are weeping. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel was weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." You go to Matthew chapter 2 and you look in verse number 18, and it has the story, the same thing. It says in we'll start in verse number 16 to give you a background. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." But look what it says in verse 17. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying," it's saying, then God fulfilled his promise. God kept his word. "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not." You go back to over to verse number 5 in chapter number 2. It says, "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet." These were all promises that God had said beforehand that seemed like they were supernatural. You know, what do you mean by the virgin birth? What do you mean by these that are weeping in Ramah? What do you mean by it's going to be in Bethlehem? It's because he made those promises. Also, in Matthew chapter number 2, there's another story that is told about how Joseph was told to go into Egypt. Let's look in chapter number 2. Look in verse number 13. "And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word from Herod, will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, look what it says in verse 15. And there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. You have another promise there that was filled. And this is just in Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter number 2. You had the fulfilling of the promises and the prophecies. You can trust God. If God says he's going to do it, guess what? God's going to do it. And how do we apply this to our life? Well, we'll get that to it in there in a second. But you go to Matthew chapter number 1. In Matthew chapter number 1, you have the genealogy. And in Matthew chapter number 1, you have a fulfillment of a bunch of the prophecies or a fulfillment of the promises that God had given. If you go down, you look at the lineage, it begins in verse number 2 with Abraham. If you go back into the Bible times, in Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, there was the promised seed. The Messiah was going to come through there. And then you have the same promises that was given to Isaac that you find in this genealogy. It's found in Genesis 26, 4, and Jacob, Genesis 28, 14, and Judah in Genesis chapter 49, and Jesse, Isaiah chapter number 11, and in David, Isaiah chapter number 9. It was showing the line which Christ was going to come from. And you know what that was? That was promise after promise after promise. And the genealogy that sometimes we get bored with reading is showing and teaches us something. And it teaches us a different type of people God uses. And there's a lot of wonderful stories in there about some of the different ladies. But also, it talks about how God had made some promises to these men that the line of Christ, the Messiah, was going to come through them. They were the Davidic covenant. They were the Abrahamic covenant. They were the different covenants that God had made with these people. And God is fulfilling his promises here. God has made us promises in his word, and the exciting thing is he keeps those promises and he keeps those words. So how do we apply that to us today? Well, in my mind, the manger scene, the Christmas story, is not just a baby in the manger. And remember, he came to die for the sins of mankind. It's not just about the shepherds. It's not about the angels. It's not just about the wise men. It's a reminder that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. We can serve him. We can live for him. We can do what is right. We can reach out. We can change the world. Why? Because he's given us his promises. He's given us wonderful promises. Think about a couple of the comments or verses when it talks about how God does not lie. Titus 1:2, and the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world began, he had given a promise, and you know what? He wasn't going to break that. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him, are yea, in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. You know, his promises are yea. If God promised you something, guess what? He is going to do it. And you say, well, how do I apply that to my life? Well, do we live our lives believing the promises of God? Do we live our lives believing that he will never leave us nor forsake us? Do we live our lives believing that he is going to meet our needs according to his riches? Do we live our lives believing that God can take all things and make all things work together for good? I want you to understand tonight, as we go through Christmas, as we see the things that might be struggling and the hardships and the hard times, God has not changed. Jesus, it says, it is the same yesterday, today, and he is going to be the same forever. And we can trust in his promises. Romans chapter 11 has a really interesting phrase. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, it's verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now listen to this. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. His ways are past finding out. We cannot always understand what God is doing. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So what the Bible is saying here is this: you're not always going to understand what God is going. You're not going to always understand his ways. His ways are past our knowledge. They're past finding out. His ways are something that we just cannot comprehend, because we do not know and understand the mind of God always. Who is God's counselor? Now, many of us like to say that we like to give people a piece of our mind. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we like to be someone's counselor. But there's sometimes when, you know, God does not need anybody to be his counselor. His ways are past finding out. God's wisdom is based off of his knowledge. You think about it. God does not need your knowledge, does not need my knowledge, because he already has all knowledge. He can see the end from the beginning. He has it all worked out. He understands everything that's ever happened. He can see over the years. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I wish I would have bought Apple stock when it first came out. And why is that? Because Apple went and it was big. People became wealthy because of it. It's because they said, if I could have seen years ahead, then I could have been a very wealthy person. See, God doesn't need somebody's stock tips. God sees it from the beginning to the end. God has it all worked out. He can work all things together. His knowledge is something that we can understand because our knowledge is limited, but God's is not. And we see the limitations that we would think, well, how in the world is Jesus going to come to this world? You know, since man's nature is passed down, he had that figured out. It was no problem for him. How in the world are they going to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem? He didn't have to worry about that. He took care of that. How in the world is he going to get caught out of Egypt? How in the world is this going to happen and this prophecy going to happen? This prophecy, he had it all figured out. And that's what I'm trying to help you understand tonight. And I hope it'll help and build your faith. God has it all worked out. We just have to be faithful. We just have to do the things that he's called us to do. We can believe in him. We can trust in him. Just like he told Abraham and he told Jacob and he told Isaac and he told David and even Jesse's in there. And he says that, you know, all these things that were going to happen, God fulfilled those promises. Be faithful to him. Do what is right and live for him. First thing is his ways are past finding out. Next thing is God is always at work. You know, once again, we can't always see the end from the beginning. How many times have we asked that question? What in the world is God doing? I wish he would tell me, because if he'd tell me, I'd feel a lot better. That's not faith. Faith is putting our faith and trust in a God that we believe the Bible says that he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We believe and have faith in that God is always working and that he can work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We believe that when God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give and expect in. And we have faith in believing that God can work these things out. He keeps his promises. And at Christmas time is a wonderful time to remember that he says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? That we don't have to worry about the things that God has taken care of for us. Just as we can trust God that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin and that we can trust him that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, we can trust him today to take care of us. Isn't it amazing how many times we'll say our most valuable thing is our soul? It lives forever. That's when they ask that question, what shall profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? His soul is more valuable than all the possessions of the world. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you with my soul. But then we don't trust him with our families. We don't trust him with our bank accounts. We don't trust him with our relationships and that he does know right and he does know best. And he wants to do things that sometimes we feel uncomfortable with. But we got to remember the promises he's given us. I wrote down a few things. And if we live our lives believing these things, I think it will help us. I thought about the promise that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love that one. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's going to keep that promise. Even when things look dark and even when things look hard, he's going to keep that promise. He's coming back. You know, he's told us that. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's going to keep that promise. He's coming back someday. And if we believe that, then you know what? It's going to change the way we got to believe that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. But we also got to believe he's coming back someday. We need to be ready. Think about the promise of eternal life. He's given us a possession, everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We got to believe and trust in that he has given us everlasting life. He's given us eternal life, and it is a gift of God. He's not going to take that back, and he's not going to take it away. Sometimes people struggle with their eternal security. On Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'm going to preach a message about the greatest gift and talking about, obviously, that Jesus was the greatest gift. And you know what? A gift is free. You don't turn around and take a gift back. And God does not do that. The promise of eternal life. How about the promise of sowing and reaping? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. You think about that. If we believe that and we say God's a man of his word, or I'm sorry, a man's not the right way to refer to God, but he is going to keep his word and he's going to keep his promises. You know what? We need to live our lives sowing. So that way someday we will reap. What does it talk about when it comes to scripture and that those that going bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again? Doing what? Bringing in their sheaves. And it talks about the promises that God gives us. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We can trust in God. I know we don't all understand what's going on. But when I come through and I read and I look at the Christmas story and I think about the different things I really enjoy about it. And there are some really great things. And some of the greatest doctrines of all the Bible are confirmed or written and told us here in these pages at the beginning of Matthew and the beginning of Luke. Wonderful things. It builds my faith. And at Christmas time, we talk about the birth and the babe and the wise men, the shepherds. I look at that and say, wow. I don't want to get over the fact that God, hundreds of years beforehand, knew exactly what he was talking about. And the Bible, it said that when those prophets would say, thus saith the Lord, and they would say something, they didn't have any clue what they were saying because they didn't know what that virgin birth was going to be like. What's going on in Bethlehem? You know, you think about it sometimes. Noah, when he said it was going to rain, he only had a limited knowledge exactly what was going to happen that day. And lots of times when thus saith the Lord, they did not know what everything that was going to transpire because it was a mystery to some of them when it came to certain things. But what were they doing? They were faithful. They were faithful doing what God had told them to do. Give out the message that God has given us to give. Believe in him. Trust in him. Believe in his word. I love Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 gives us some promises that we don't have to sin. We're not forced to sin. As a believer, we can have victory over sin. We have to recompense ourselves dead to that sin. Some of us just don't believe that. We feel like we got to keep on doing it and keep on doing it. He is truthful in his word, and his word will not lie. It says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, where it talks about how he cannot lie. And I don't want to misquote it. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So this Christmas season, you got a God you can trust. You know, you're not giving somebody something they do not need. You cannot talk to someone who does not need to hear the gospel. You say, well, that they're already saved. That's fine. But they see you witnessing. Maybe you can be an inspiration to them. You're not offering them somebody that you can't trust. I don't like recommending people sometimes, you know, different projects, different contractors, if I don't know them really well. Because when I recommend somebody to something, you know, I'm putting my stamp of approval on something. Many times I'll tell people, make sure you check it out for yourself. This is my experience with this person. Because sometimes people are faulty, and sometimes people break promises, and sometimes people do not do what they promised they would do. You don't have to worry about that with God. God always has it worked out ahead of time. You can trust him. That's what you can even say to people. I can't always understand what's happening in this world, but I can trust in God because he will not lie, and I believe he can take whatever the situation is and work it out together for good. So Christmas time is something that's exciting because of the fact that it was prophesied thousands of years beforehand and then hundreds of years beforehand, and everything came perfectly true. We can tell people that. Well, how come, you know, back in Isaiah, and how come back in Micah, and how come back here hundreds of years beforehand, these things were said, this can build your faith. And this is when it became true. It's just historically true. It's scientifically true. If something disagrees with the Bible, then it's wrong. And I want you to understand, God's promises, he will always keep them. Are you living your life like he's going to keep those promises? I know when I think about his return and the future judgment day, I'm going to change the way I live. I know when I consider that he's there with me, you know, he shall never leave me nor forsake me, and I'm tempted to do a certain sin, It changes the way I look at it. When I talk about reaching someone who is a hard case or witnessing to someone who I think will never, ever personally get it, I remember how he saved me and how he saved an apostle Paul and how he saved other people that nobody else thought they would ever get Christ. It's because people were faithful. Let's remember, he is a promise keeper. He keeps his word. And Christmas, we can know by seeing the Christmas story, we can trust him. We can trust in the Lord of all our hearts, all thine hearts. We can trust in him. Why? Because he's kept his word all these years. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.